On behalf of Trinity's Evangelism Committee, we welcome you here tonight. Glad to see everybody. We're never sure how many people to plan on for an event like this, but we're glad that young and old both made it out tonight to hear the speech. We've been planning it for several months, and we'd like to thank Hudsonville, too, for letting us use their facility. Before we begin, just two quick items to note. In the narthex, maybe you noticed it already, there is a pamphlet table, as is customary at evangelism lectures, so feel free to glance through that table or through Hudsonville's pamphlets, too, on the wall, just past that. And if you have any questions, we're not going to do a question and answer session like sometimes is done at evangelism lectures. We thought the nature of the topic was a little bit different. But if you do have any comments or questions, feel free to direct them to our evangelism committee through our website, through Trinity's website. That would be trinityprc.org. So then to begin, let's open our psalters together. The title or theme of the lecture tonight is the power of the tongue. And so let's start with Psalter 24. Psalter number 24, I'll sing all three verses and especially take notice of the second verse there that applies and relates to the theme. So 1, 2, and 3, Psalter 24. With a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to thee, Lord, in the evening hour of this beautiful day, for there is no other God that we can come to. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we come, Lord, to hear and listen to those words tonight. We thank thee that we have the freedom of religion yet in our country, that we can come and freely gather together and assemble as a body of believers. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word may go freely still, without the fear of persecution, without interference, gathering thy people together from all ends of the earth, from all four corners of the earth. And even here tonight, Lord, we pray that thy spirit may use the word spoken to bless thy people and to build us up in the fear of thy name, to build us up, Lord, especially as it relates to the use of our mouth and our tongue and our speech and the way that we talk and the way that we treat each other in the words that we use. We thank thee, Lord, for Reverend Decker, for his place tonight, that he will bring thy word. We pray a blessing upon him, that what he has studied comes clearly before his mind. And we thank thee for those of us, for those who have gathered here tonight, too, to be a part of this lecture. Lord, we thank thee for all the blessings that thou hast given unto us. We thank thee for our churches, for our schools. We thank thee, Lord, for godly parents, for families. We thank Thee, Lord, for the many blessings of salvation that have been earned for us, not by our own good works, but by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and His death. And we pray, Lord, that our good works may be works of thankfulness to Thee for that salvation. Bless us in this night, then, as we listen to Thy word. Bless our speaker, too, as he brings it. Forgive what is done in sin, and help us, Lord, to forgive those who sin against us. We pray this all in His name alone. Amen. I would like to continue before our speaker comes up. If you would open your Bibles with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, I'd like to read that entire chapter. Some of the students here tonight or the children may recognize this chapter as we read it as a powerful and instructive chapter on the use of our tongue. So we'll read chapter 3 of James, all 18 verses. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever their governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We're thankful for our speaker tonight, Reverend Nathan Decker. He's married to Jessica, and they have one daughter, Kate. He graduated from our theological seminary a couple of years ago in 2011, and he's been the pastor at Trinity Protestant Reformed Church ever since for 2 years. So we're thankful that he could be here and do this tonight. Reverend Decker.
You all see me if I stand here instead of there? Can the kids see me? Okay. Am I good? Yeah. Okay. Got to do something different than Sunday, and we'll do this. Just speak from down here rather than up behind the pulpit. I thought about going with no tie or no suit, but I thought that may have been a little bit extreme. So we'll just do this instead. I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak tonight on what I consider to be a very important and timely subject. My overall purpose with this speech, my grand hope with this speech, like all things, is that God would be glorified, but also this, that you and I together here tonight by the words that are spoken would grow in what is our common desire with one another, and that is to live a Christian life that is well-pleasing to God, and particularly to do that with respect to the manner and the content of our speaking. The Evangelism Committee at Trinity gave me the topic of the power of the tongue to speak on. And what a power that tongue is. Part of the purpose of James chapter 3 that Rick read a few moments ago is to demonstrate the powerful nature of the tongue. Though the tongue is a very small member of our body, yet that tongue wields incredible power. And that's in part the purpose of those comparisons that James is led to write. Consider the horse, that powerful, strong beast. In order to control that horse, all it takes is the very small bit placed in the mouth. Consider the ship weighing in at several tons. You could push on that ship with all of your might and it probably wouldn't budge, but all it takes is the helm. And all of a sudden you have good control of this big ship. So also, James writes, is the tongue. A very small member of our body, but yet a member that wields incredible power. And what I want to impress upon us tonight is that this tongue, small though it may be, is a power unto one of two ends. On the one hand, it can be a power unto the end of evil, as it says later in James 3, to curse men. Or on the other hand, it can be used as a power unto good, to bless God, as it says at the end of James 3. What I say tonight is not profound. What I say tonight is not new as it relates to this very practical aspect of our Christian life. My hope, very simply, is that you and I would go home tonight and we would do something that we probably don't do enough of, and that is examine our life in this respect. Am I using my tongue to that end of evil, to curse men, to destroy one another? Or am I using that tongue to the end of good, to bless God, to encourage one another, and to be a good witness to the world around us? I say again, that's my specific hope with this speech, that we would grow in our lives of sanctification in this respect. I consider this subject to be an important and timely one for a couple of reasons. In the first place, very simply, because we talk all the time. That's part of what makes us special. It's part of what makes us different from everything else that God created in this world. We're able to think. We're able to rationalize. And then we're able to take those thoughts and communicate them in words. And the simple fact is that we do it constantly. When I was preparing this speech, I thought about trying to find some impressive statistic that gives the number of words that the average man or woman speaks during their lifetime. Simply couldn't come up with it. Researchers can't come up with it with any sense of certainty. But we don't need some impressive statistic to drive home to us what we know is true. From the beginning of the day to the end of the day, all day long, we're talking. And if we're not talking per se in some way or another, we're communicating with other people. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that every single time words come out of our mouths, there's an opportunity for him to tempt us, to lead us down the path of sin, to destroy one another by our words. But God knows that too. And that's why when you go to the Word of God, there is so much instruction concerning the use of our tongues. What was read earlier was just one passage of many that could have been read that give us instruction concerning the use of our tongues. And so for something as fundamental to our existence here on this earth as speaking, and for something as frequently used as our tongues, it's worthwhile to hear a speech on this subject tonight. In the second place, this is an important and timely subject simply because of the fact that in the past couple of weeks, our schools opened their doors for another year of instruction. when the evangelism committee at Trinity decided this topic for a speech and this date for a speech, it was done so with that in mind. And when it comes to our children at school and our young people at school, few things are as important as this subject, how they are communicating with one another and with their teachers. You children are Christian children, and you young people here tonight are Christian young people, and you go to Christian schools. What that means is that must, and I can emphasize that word as strong as I can, must be reflected in the way that you speak and the content of your speaking. And so as we have that on our minds at this time, our children and young people back at school, this is a timely subject to consider. In light of that, I'd like to divide the content of this speech into three main sections. In the first place, I'd like to say something to you children specifically. And then I'd like to say something to the young people. And if your children and young people aren't here tonight, my hope is that you can use what is said in order to help yourself instruct them in the fear of God's name. And then in the third place, I'd like to address all of us as adults and specifically parents. So let's start with you children. I'm talking tonight about the power of the tongue. Now, am I talking simply about this thing that is in my mouth, the tongue itself, and the fact that it's powerful? It is a pretty strong muscle. But that's not the idea. It's what the tongue is used for. God gave us a tongue so that we could speak. If I didn't have my tongue in my mouth, I couldn't do what I'm doing right now, giving this speech. And so when we talk about the power of the tongue, we're talking about the power that it is used for, which is speaking. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. How many of us have heard the well-known saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. The idea of that is, you could take a stick and you could hit me with that stick. You could take stones and you could throw those stones at me. Those sticks and stones could break my bones. They could hurt me. But the words you speak to me, they will never hurt me. The question is that true? And the answer is emphatically no. It's not true that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. In fact, if I were to ask you tonight, how many of us have been hurt by the words that have been spoken to us, every one of us here would have to raise our hands. Words hurt. Words are powerful. You children who are here tonight know that. You know that when someone says something mean to you or when someone mocks you, it hurts. And oftentimes hurts very badly. And so you need to remember that when you're talking to other people, that you say things that don't hurt them. On Monday morning when you children go to school, or if you're around your house, you would never think about going outside, finding some solid tree, yanking down from that tree a nice solid branch, and then walking through the playground and finding some stones and filling your pockets with those stones, and then going into the halls of the school, taking that stick and just start whacking everybody with it. And then when you get sick of using your stick, you take some stones and you just start throwing them at everybody. You would never think about doing that. But you know what? Doing what I just described is absolutely no different than when words come out of your mouth that are mean or when you mock someone. Those words are the exact same thing as taking a stick in your hand and hitting somebody with it or taking stones in your hands and throwing them at someone. They both hurt. And they both hurt, although in a different way, very badly. There is power in the words that we speak. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. The first saying a moment ago, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That wasn't true. What about this saying? If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Something that we've probably all heard from our parents and teachers. While that saying emphatically was not true, this saying is true. This saying is backed up by what the Bible says. And simply what it emphasizes is the fact that we need to speak nice things. If you're thinking about saying something mean to somebody, if you're thinking about mocking someone, don't let those words come out of your mouth. Zip it. And don't say it. Only the words that are nice, the words that are kind, the words that show love for one another must come out of our mouths. In that respect, I'd like to say one more thing about what comes out of our mouths. Not only do words come out of our mouths, but there's something else that comes out of our mouth. And that's laughing. I bring this up because I've experienced it many times in the only two plus years that I've taught catechism. Laughing is a good thing. It's a great thing. We need to laugh with one another. We need to have a good time with one another. But laughing can be a power unto evil as well. Now, it's true that when you laugh, you're not saying any words. But sometimes when you laugh, you're conveying a message. When you're in your classroom and one of your classmates says the wrong answer, or when they say something that you think is silly, or when they're in gym class and they do something not so good, or when they're out on the playground and they trip and fall, and your response is to laugh at them. Need to remember, absolutely no different than taking that stick or taking that stone, hitting them or throwing them at them. And that's why it falls under this second saying, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Remember those two sayings. Remember that the first one was not true, and that the second one was emphatically true. I don't see a lot of young people here, but there are a few. So let's move on to you. I hope you were listening during the first section of the speech tonight. I hope you didn't hear the introduction when I said that I'm going to talk to the children first, and then the young people, and then the adults. You decided to cash out for the first 10 minutes there. I hope you were listening, because everything I just said a moment ago is just as true for you. And it's just as true for me, and it's just as true for everyone sitting here tonight. If we were to live our lives in light of those two sayings, which are biblical, we would go a long ways in using our tongues as a power unto good. So I hope you were listening. But I want to build off of that. And I want to build off of it in one particular area of your life. The simple fact is that we're living at a time in society when we're able to do things that could never be done before. We're able to do things when it comes to communication that we have never been able to do before. And that is communicate in more ways than simply by the words that we speak. We live in a day and age in which we communicate not simply in person, but also by means of pixels on screens, whether it's a phone or a computer. Now, there's always been letters. There's always been the ability to communicate by means of writing things down, but never day to day, within the day, communication. And that's why a speech on the power of the tongue today is very different than one years ago, because those things simply weren't possible. But that falls under this category of the power of the tongue, the way in which we communicate with one another. And so that poses, especially for the young people, unique struggles and challenges when it comes to their communication. Imagine that. 20 years ago, if you wanted to talk to somebody, they had to physically be in the same room as you. And if you wanted to talk to them over the phone, you actually had to call their home phone number. And they would actually have to be home in order to talk to them. Today it's so different. Today it's sending a text immediately or posting something on Facebook or using many other devices and apps to communicate. And that poses a unique challenge when it comes to our communication with one another. Let me qualify this very simply by saying that I'm not advocating tonight that we just throw that all away. Get rid of the phones, get rid of the iPads, get rid of the computers, get rid of all of the programs and apps that are used to communicate. They're not wrong in and of themselves. There is a good warning here, and that very simply is that we don't abuse these things by making them an idol, where we're so consumed with them and so attached to them. It's striking when you go out into public, any public place, and how often do you simply see people with their faces buried in their phones? It's everywhere. And so we need to be on our guard against that. But I'm not advocating get rid of it all. I'm simply saying let's use it in a God-glorifying way. In that respect, these 4 points. Number one, be incredibly sensitive and careful. Every single time you write something and hit the send button or post something on the computer. The old adage is, think before you speak. The wise man thinks and then he speaks. The foolish man just speaks without thinking at all about what they're going to say. What is just as true as this, think before you hit send, or think before you hit post. I could go on for a long time tonight about examples of those who are hurt by the words that are read. It's too easy to be very loose in our communication by these devices. And so the solution is that we are very sensitive, we are very careful, we think every single time before we hit that send button. In the second place, the point that I want to make in this respect is that we can't take it back. Now, this in and of itself doesn't make you not want to write something. You don't write something because it's not something that you should write. But this is a unique challenge with respect to these devices and these ways of communicating. The fact that when you send it, you can't take it back. And you can always make the phone call or you can always make another text that apologizes for what you say. But there's something about it being in front of that other person. They read it. They perceive it in a certain way. And they can read it over and over and over again. How many of us have done that? Sent something. And immediately after you send it, you say to yourself, oh, I should not have done that. I certainly have. Thankfully, a couple times that I've done it, it's been innocent. Actually, quite funny. Sending a text to my wife, love you, or something along those lines. And I sent it to an older gentleman in our church. And to this day, we still laugh about it and probably will until God takes us to the next life. But that was innocent, thankfully. It's not always the case. The solution is the first point. Be careful. Be sensitive. Think before we communicate in that way. In the third place, and now this really gets to the heart of it, don't say anything in pixels on a device that you wouldn't say in person. I say this gets to the heart of it because when it comes to communication in these ways, I think this stands behind so much of it. There's something about standing behind the protection of a phone or the screen or distance that can make us altogether loose in what we say. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that I could never get that person to say those words face to face. And if I can't get them to say it that way, I'm going to go to plan B, which is get them to write it. Because it's way easier to write it with the protection of a screen or the protection of distance than to do it face to face. Don't say anything in pixels that you wouldn't say in person. And then in the fourth place, and this really, really is the heart of it all, and that is, don't say anything and don't write anything that you wouldn't say in the very presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the beautiful things about the attributes of God is how they are so practical for our lives here on this earth. And one of the attributes of God is that He is omnipresent. The fact that God sees everything. God is everywhere. There's nothing that escapes Him. If we lived our lives consciously in light of that attribute of God all day long, how different sometimes would our lives look? Wrapped up in that as well is the fact that God, particularly Jesus Christ, hears everything too. And so very simply, when we talk about the power of the tongue, think about it in this respect. Would I say these things or would I write these things if Jesus Christ was standing right next to me? Or if Jesus Christ was staring at that computer or at that smartphone? If you remember that, if we consciously think about that, remember to be incredibly sensitive and careful. Remember that you can't take it back. Don't say anything in pixels that you wouldn't say in person. And remember that all of our speaking and all of our writing is in the presence of God Himself. Then we put ourselves on a path to use our tongues, not as a power unto evil, but as a power unto good. Adults, parents, same word to you as I said to the few young people here tonight. I hope when you heard the introduction, children, young people, you didn't cash out during the first couple sections of the speech. Because the reality is everything that I've said tonight is just as true for all of us. Those two sayings and these points regarding this other aspect of communication. But I do want to say something specifically to us as adults and to us as parents. And the general point that I want to make is very simply that we need to be excellent examples in all of our life, obviously, but excellent examples in this respect, the use of our tongues in all of our communication. This is not one of those things where we can say, do as I say, but not as I do. I don't know if there's anything that would fall under that category, but especially this does not fall under that category. Where we go forth speaking a certain way, abusing these devices and programs that we have. And then we turn around and we tell our children not to do that. Do as I say, but not as I do. That's altogether not true. Do as I myself am doing. We need to be marvelous examples of what it means to use our tongues and all of our communication in a God-glorifying way. Be an example by being positive and not critical in your speaking. I was preparing for this and thinking about this over the past month or so. I took note of that especially in the conversations that I engaged in, and in especially a group setting. It is amazing how much of our conversation revolves around talking about other people. It's phenomenal how much is consumed with that. And now that in and of itself is not bad. What's wrong is when it takes it to the next step and how much of our conversation involves being critical towards other people. Talking about the teachers at school and everything they do poorly. Talking about other parents and what they do poorly. Talking about ministers and what they do poorly. Talking about any other person and some negative characteristic about them. Listen to conversations. And listen to how much we talk about other people and how much of it carries a negative connotation to it. Now, that's not true across the board, of course not. But it is nevertheless true. We need to be good examples to our children and young people in the way that we speak so that we're not using these tongues to tear people down, to always be negative about other people. And that's why I said those sayings earlier are just as true for us. But we need to be examples in being positive, being upbuilding in all of our speech. It's no surprise if that's what they hear at home when they go and take it to the next step and do it in their life themselves, and even the next step of actually saying it to people's faces. Excellent examples in being positive in all of our speech. In the second place, be examples in being clean in our speech. I'm not going to say anything about taking the Lord's name in vain. That's assumed. God has given us the gift of language. It's a beautiful gift. He gave us the gift of speech ultimately in order to write the Scriptures. We know God from the creation all around us, but we know God because He wrote it in words. The entirety of the gift of language serves that purpose of glorifying God. Let's be clean in our language. Let's be clean in such a way that it brings glory to God's name, being dirty in the way that we speak. In no way, shape, or form serves the purpose of glorifying the name of God. Be examples in that respect. And then last, be excellent examples to your children and young people by consuming your speech with language concerning God, concerning the church, concerning the kingdom of God. We want for nothing else than these children that we see here tonight and all of our children and young people to grow up in such a way that they know God, that they love God, that they serve God. And so we do everything in our power to be faithful to the calling that we have to raise them in the fear of God's name. There's nothing more powerful than this. Using our tongues as a power unto good to cultivate the life of Christ in them. And we can do that in two ways. The very clear, systematic instruction in the truth, that's what we do. But also this. The more general life in our homes of speaking about the things of God. What makes our homes godly homes is not simply the fact that we have devotions after dinner, not simply the fact that on the bookshelves there's some Reformed literature, the fact that on the coffee table there are some standard bearers. Those are all necessary, good and well. But what a godly home looks like is a home where the speech in that home is consumed with the things of God. Be marvelous examples to your children and young people in that respect so that they grow up using this good gift of speech to do the same thing, glorify and serve their God. 2 points by way of conclusion. Number one, this is an evangelism committee speech, so we need to say something about evangelism. And the word in connection with the power of the tongue, very simply, is that we must not underestimate how God can use everything that I've said so far to the end of being good witnesses to the world around us. When we take to heart everything that's been said, when we take to heart the instruction in the Word of God concerning our speech, that serves as a powerful tool to witness to the world. It's one of those things where you don't even have to do it explicitly. Simply being Christian in your speech has an effect upon those who hear you. You're in the neighborhood, you're at work, and people hear, or rather they don't hear ever, the four-letter expletives that come out of our mouths. What they never hear is being altogether negative and critical towards co-workers or bosses. Instead, what they do hear is language consumed with the things of God. Don't underestimate the power that has to be a witness to them. The same is true for our children and our young people, especially our young people on the athletic fields, in the workplace. Their communication serves that powerful end. And let me conclude very simply with where I began. Use this speech simply to go home tonight and examine your heart. Where is my heart? My heart. Not anybody else's heart. My heart in this respect. And don't go home tonight and say, I don't do anything wrong that he mentioned in that speech. Go home tonight and examine your heart in a positive way. What can I do better to use my tongue to that positive end of blessing God, encouraging and edifying one another, and being a good witness to the world that is around us? Appreciate you guys coming out tonight on a Friday night to hear that, and may God bless that and use it in order for us to grow in our lives of sanctification. In a moment I'll pray, but just to note that there are refreshments after I pray out there. And with that, let's conclude our night in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to come together tonight to hear about the powerful tongue that Thou hast given us. We pray, O God, that the words that were spoken might have been to the glory of Thy name. And we pray, too, that they might have been used to the end that we would grow in our lives of sanctification, that we would use the gift of speech to the positive purpose of the glory of Thy name and the building up of one another. Lord, we pray for forgiveness. We know how we can easily fall short in this regard, how we don't always speak as we are called to speak. We pray that Thou wilt forgive graciously, in the blood of Jesus Christ. And out of gratitude, may we go forth speaking in a way that is well-pleasing to Thee. We thank Thee for our Savior. We thank Thee for Thy church. Give us a love for Thy church. And give us a love for our Savior. And go with us now in the rest of this evening. Care for us in all that we do. For Jesus' sake alone do we pray. Amen.